Good morning. I will be discussing the epidemiology of measles in the United States from 2000 through 2007. Measles is a highly infectious, acute viral disease that results in rash, respiratory symptoms, and fever. Measles can also cause severe complications and death. 1 in 100 cases results in pneumonia, and 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 2,000 cases result in post-infection encephalitis. Measles is one of the most contagious diseases known. Almost all non-immune children contract measles if exposed to the virus. In the pre-vaccine era, approximately 500,000 cases were reported in U.S. citizens annually. However, it was generally the whole birth cohort that was infected. Most cases were unreported. The vaccine was licensed in 1963, which caused a dramatic reduction in cases. However, a resurgence occurred from 1989 to 91. During this time frame, a second dose of measles vaccine was recommended. By 2000, measles was declared eliminated from the U.S. The strongest wall of defense we have in maintaining elimination is our relatively high levels of vaccination coverage. Since the 1990s, one dose coverage among 19 to 35 month olds has been up to 93%, and two dose coverage among adolescents with a vaccination record has been up to 87%. This graph shows the disappearance of the seasonality and the sharp decrease in measles cases by month since the 1989 to 91 resurgence, pointing to the fact that measles is no longer an endemic disease in the U.S. We are currently at historic lows. In 2000, measles was officially declared eliminated from the United States, a remarkable public health success. Elimination is defined as the absence of endemic disease transmission. However, the risk of importation remains a threat until measles is under better control globally. More than 20 million cases of measles occur worldwide each year. Travel anywhere outside the Western Hemisphere, including industrialized areas such as Europe and Japan, and developing countries such as India, presents a risk for measles exposure. In 2006, approximately 30 million U.S. residents traveled abroad, and 51 million international visitors entered the U.S. No regulations are in effect requiring vaccination of visitors. Since 2000, a total of 501 measles cases have been reported. The severity of the reported measles cases in the U.S. is high. Since 2000, 1 in 4 cases have resulted in hospitalization, and 1 in 250 have resulted in death. These importations also cause substantial expenditure of local, state, and federal public health resources. In 2004 in Iowa, over 2,500 hours of personnel time were expended to review flight manifests, contact exposed passengers, set up vaccination clinics, trace over 1,000 potentially exposed contacts, and institute and enforce quarantine orders for vaccine refusers. The outbreak only involved 3 cases, but $142,000 was spent by state and local health departments in containing it. In 2005 in Indiana, to stop the spread of infection in a vaccine refuser group, outbreak containment efforts required 3,650 person hours, and containment costs totaled more than $167,000. Since 2000, the number of measles cases has ranged from 37 to 116 cases per year, but the percentage of import-associated cases has increased, which is reflected by the yellow line. It is primarily U.S. residents being affected, comprising 73% of cases since 2000. About 3/4 of the 395 patients who were age-appropriate for vaccination had 0 doses or unknown vaccination status. This shows us that our main issue is not vaccine failure. This chart looks at the vaccination status by age groups of the cases since 2000. The children less than one are not routinely vaccinated, but they represent a small percentage of cases. The preschool and school-age children, a reachable population, represent 40% of the cases. Within these two groups, 79% were unvaccinated or had unknown vaccination status. A majority of case patients in the final group, which were persons over 20 years of age, were unvaccinated or had unknown vaccination status. However, this group is generally harder to reach. Documenting the number of outbreaks is also key, because outbreaks demonstrate that the chain of transmission is more than a single importation. An outbreak is defined as three or more cases. During 2000 to 2007, 39 outbreaks occurred in 16 states. All outbreaks that occurred during this time frame were small, with 3 to 34 cases per outbreak, with a median of 4 cases per outbreak. The outbreaks were short in duration, with a median of 19 days, and occurred year-round. The 9 viral genotypes listed here were well associated with the outbreaks. Additionally, since 2004, all outbreaks reported have been traced to an imported source. I want to highlight 3 outbreaks that occurred, primarily in unprotected populations. In 2005 in Indiana, an unvaccinated girl traveled to Romania, became infected, and transmitted measles to 33 persons, most of whom were unvaccinated children upon her return home. In 2008 in San Diego, an unvaccinated boy traveled to Switzerland. He became infected and spread the virus to 11 unvaccinated children upon his return home. Currently, an outbreak is occurring in Arizona. An unvaccinated and infected foreign visitor from Switzerland spent more than 20 hours in the ER and was hospitalized. To date, 5 additional people have been infected, including a hospital employee. The hospital screened 480 employees, and those who could not prove history of vaccination or immunity were tested. 22 were seronegative, and vaccine was provided. These outbreaks tell us a great deal about who we need to target. These outbreaks also demonstrate that we cannot let our guard down. Surveillance indicators are an important way of measuring the quality of our surveillance. There are several surveillance indicators for measles. One surveillance indicator is the percent completeness of information for key variables that are entered into the National Notifiable Diseases Surveillance System. From 2000 to 2007, this indicator ranged from 56 to 87%. This indicator is the percent of measles cases with viral specimens sent to CDC. This ranged from 21 to 70%. Although we have genotypes for all of the recent outbreaks and about 25 to 30% of single case chains for genotyping, we would like a sample from every chain. There is room for improvement in the collection of samples for viral detection, such as the collection of throat swabs. Another surveillance indicator is the percent of confirmed cases that are lab confirmed. This ranged from 58 to 93%. However, in an outbreak, not all cases need to be lab confirmed. This surveillance indicator is the median number of days from symptom onset to public health report. It ranged from 1 to 6 days. Higher numbers are worse for this indicator. We'd like reporting to occur the first day or sooner. In summary, high measles vaccination coverage has successfully maintained measles elimination, but we remain at risk of importation, especially from developed areas of the world. However, more than 500 cases have occurred since 2000. These have been primarily imported or import-linked cases. Approximately 3/4 of the cases have been unvaccinated, and approximately 3/4 of the cases have been among U.S. residents. Though the 39 outbreaks since 2000 have been limited in size and duration, they have often caused a substantial economic impact. The risk populations are vaccine refusers, persons traveling abroad, and healthcare workers. Surveillance performance is generally good, but improvements would be desirable. With over 20 million cases of measles occurring globally, the risk of measles importations and outbreaks will continue for the foreseeable future. Continued elimination of measles transmission depends primarily on continued maintenance of high vaccination coverage, which may be difficult in the absence of disease and in the presence of increased concern over vaccine adverse events. Special vaccination efforts should be directed at populations at risk, such as foreign travelers, vaccine refusers, and healthcare workers. School vaccination requirements should be enforced in a manner which does not make it easier to decline vaccination than to be vaccinated. And vaccination levels of healthcare workers in healthcare facilities should be reviewed periodically. I'd like to acknowledge the people listed here, especially Susan Redd, for her tireless work in gathering surveillance data.